For the very first time on WVOF 88.5 FM, this is Red Sea Radio, our debut show. I'm your host, Kyle Majewitz, along with Jack Sarasulo. We're excited to be here. So for those of you that may not know what this is, it is a Fairfield sports-only show. So we're going to be talking all things Fairfield sports, all different sports. Get some interviews in here, players, coaches, staff, and hopefully just show and kind of showcase Fairfield sports and all that we have to offer on campus. So today's episode is going to be mainly around Fairfield basketball.
Kind of an intro. Projection?
A preview slash recap of last season. So we're going to start off with last season, right?
Yeah.
We watched almost all the games last season, I'd say.
I think if anything, if we didn't watch, we followed along.
Yeah, we pretty much saw every game last season for the most part. So they ended the season 12-20, right? So it's not the best, right?
Mm-hmm.
Conference 8-12. So a little bit better in conference.
I mean, yeah, and also 12-20 to take into account that was like a Maryland, and yeah. Did they include the USC and the Davidson losses in that?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's kind of like, yeah, I think the conference schedule is more indicative of their play style, of their talent.
I think one of the things, like, we noticed last year, too, is if you look through their schedule last year, right, look at the amount of losses that they had by anywhere from, like, 1 to 5 points. Or one to, like, anything from 1 or 2 possessions, they lost a ton of games by...
Yeah, 4, 2,
one or two possessions.
7. There were a few blowouts, but mostly close. Later on in the year, they kind of started getting blown out a little bit. They kind of had a bad stretch end of January, beginning of February.
Starting their season, right, they had Bucknell and UMass, right?
Well, they both played very close. Bucknell's a good team.
4-point game and a 2-point game, and they just happened to lose both of them, but... They had chances in those games to win it. I know the UMass game, they had a 3 at the end to win it.
I mean, that's what happens when you don't have, like, that guy that can, like, score a will. They're kind of, like, it's kind of like a more pass-heavy offense. There's no guy that can go isolation and score for you. So if you need a shot at the end of the game, they're relying on good play calling by Jay Young rather than just talent on one player's
kinda,
talent.
That's kind of been, like, the issue for this team, right, for, like, a long time now. Or just like scoring defensively this year. Last year they did really well.
Yeah, they did a good job. I mean, that's, you got to take the positives, and that is one of them. I mean, most of these games you see are in the 60s, 70s highest. So even in overtime games, like this Oakland game, 61-59 in overtime, 59 points in overtime is not shabby.
Yeah, and they went on to beat Holy Cross, which was actually a big win for them.
I mean, it's first win of the year, overtime.
They weren't expected to win that either. But then they go on to lose against Loyola Maryland, and Maryland, which you can't be too mad about. They win
Maryland, they were close towards the end. I mean, what was it, 8 points with 10 minutes left or something like that?
Yeah, it was like close for, I mean, considering they were playing a ranked team, top 10 team at the time. They went into the Orlando Invitational, picked up 2 losses, but again, they kind of held their own with USC. I think that was on, like, Thanksgiving, right? They held their own with USC, which, again, you can't be mad about.
7 points against USC is nothing to
And then Davidson, they lost. They wound up losing by 11. I don't necessarily remember that game too closely.
Yeah,
but
I don't remember this Davidson game. I remember the 2 other ones, but I don't remember the Davidson game. I mean, it looks like they, in the box score, it looks like they went down early, couldn't score, and kind of picked it up in the second half.
And then, obviously, December 1st, that was that kind of consolation game in Orlando against Texas A&M. We wound up beating him.
Probably his biggest game of his career. I'm trying to see the box.
I think Landon
10 threes, 10 for 15.
Yeah, I think he set, like, a Fairfield school record.
I think he broke his own record.
I think he did.
Because I remember freshman.
Didn't he set that record freshman year? Manhattan, right?
Was it Manhattan? I remember watching the game he set the record. I think that broke it.
Yeah, I think that broke it for sure. I think he... That was definitely, like, his biggest game of the season. And, I mean, beating Texas A&M, right, is, like, a huge win for us.
Yeah, I mean, that's they're in the tournament ranked highly most years. Yeah. You probably name on the top, like, I can't name on the top of my head, but there are definitely guys in the NBA that
went to Texas A&M. Yeah.
Like Caruso. Caruso.
Alex Caruso. So, I mean, they weren't, like, a strong team last year, necessarily.
I don't think they're a great year, but just it's still SEC basketball. Yeah, it's still...
For us to beat A&M is, like, a huge deal. So then we moved on to kind of, like, early December play. William and Mary. We lost that game by a couple points, too. It's a three-point game. William and Mary, we were at that game, right?
Yeah, that was with the NBA scouts.
That guy was...
That big man, I forget his name.
Yeah, William and Mary had a huge center... Honestly, he dominated.
He was the reason they won. Was it Nathan Knight? I'm checking the box score right now.
I don't remember
Nathan,
his name.
Nathan
but...
Knight was probably it. He had 21, 10 boards, a block, and two steals. That sounds like him.
It was probably him. He like dominated that game. Honestly,
and he looked like he belonged
at a better team
on another level. Yeah. Like he looked like he would be at the next level.
Yeah, and. You can argue that if they didn't have him, that we could have potentially beat
them. They had the chances to win that game. I remember watching it. They
had multiple chances.
They should have won that game almost.
Yeah. And then we went home for Christmas break. We had the overtime win against Oakland. I remember that was a big one.
I remember that was another game where they weren't expected to win. They were on the road, too, in Michigan. Like it was kind of a long
I remember travel Oakland kind of was, like, not taking us too seriously. I remember their coach came out in, like, a Christmas suit changed at halftime once they were down. He was like, all right, now we got to turn it on. Still beat them in overtime. That was a great game. I remember watching that. A lot of fun. Then we beat Wagner, right? End of December, we beat Wagner. Yeah. I remember watching that, too. We actually had control of that game for most of the game.
Yeah, I think that was that was an easier win. They kind of took over in the second half. And this is another good game by Landon. He kind of started the year off pre-MAC play. He was looking like their best scorer.
Yeah, he was like, doing really well and to a point where teams were having to, like, double-team.
Yeah, I remember, he couldn't even get shots because he was getting doubled, every time touching the ball.
But the problem for him at, like, in the later stages was that once teams started to double-team him or cover him really tightly, he couldn't create his own shot.
Two, he didn't have the passing capabilities to, like, find the open man.
Drive in, kick it out.
Yeah, after finding that double team or after garnering that double team, he didn't have the passing abilities to, like, kick it out to a guy that was open, find the open man. Because obviously with a double team, there's always somebody open.
So then at the start of the new year, January 3rd, we moved on to MAC play for good. And we opened with a loss to Niagara. They did not play that well that game.
They wound up
losing by 9.
They had a lot of trouble on the road, MAC play. Throughout most of the year. I feel like whenever they went to, like, St. Peter's, whenever they went to Siena, Niagara, they kind of had problems.
3 days later, they play Canisius.
That was I remember this game because of how 46-42. I just remember the score. Like,
they wound up winning 46-42.
Crazy, crazy.
Crazy game is when you score 46 points and you win, it's like, I don't even know, are you happy?
Yeah,
you,
I don't know, like, what
you'll
do
take
you,
any win you can get you, in this
you
like,
take the positive
league,
negatives. Positives, you play great defense. Negatives, you scored 46 points in 40 minutes.
And that's kind of, like, the theme of the year.
Yeah, I mean,
positive, you play good defense. But negative, you didn't score enough to win, you know. Mm. They've never really given up, you know, more than, like, I see...
I mean, a couple of blowouts, they had, like, 80. But that was also against, like, a team like Quinnipiac who just hucks up threes. And, like, when they're hot, you can't really...
Yeah,
play
for the most part, like, they don't really give up more than, like, 70.
Yeah, on a normal night, they don't give more than 70.
Yeah, on a normal night, but on a normal night as well, they're not scoring more than 55, 60 points. So that's, like, been the struggle, and it's not, like, a secret. It's pretty obvious.
And hopefully that changes with the new recruits they brought in. They brought in a lot of guys that can shoot, a lot of guys that can create, it seems like.
Yeah.
Before transfers.
And we'll get to that in a bit. Moved on, played Marist, lost by 12, I think. That was a really poor game. I remember watching that. I think that was the first game in Webster Bank, but we weren't back yet. And then they played Manhattan, they won.
This is where Iden, or, yeah, Kavalauskas was, like, he was kind of starting for them and getting, like, a lot of minutes.
He
was an interesting player because his minutes fluctuated so much. Game the game.
Yeah, and he was interesting too because he didn't shoot very often.
But every once in a while he'd bang a three. No, he could. I mean, he's a good passer. I guess he was a solid enough ball handler. I guess that wasn't his role, but I mean, when they were needed, when they needed a three, it was like him, Landon, and Taj were like the three guys that like, or just a basket, I guess. Him, Landon, and Taj were like three of the guys I was most confident in.
Yeah, and I remember a couple of games he would just start the game off, just bang a three, and then he just wouldn't shoot one for the rest of the game. Was this Manhattan game? It's actually funny you mentioned that. Wasn't this the game where he hit a long three to either like tie it, put us ahead? It was like close down the stretch. I don't know if you remember that. It might have been this game.
It could have been 2 for 2 on threes.
I actually think it was because we were home still. I remember watching it on ESPN. Home. And
this was at alumni.
It was at alumni, but we were still home. Mm-hmm. I remember watching it on ESPN. He hit like a crazy shot at some point late in the game to like either put them ahead. To ice it, something like that.
It's funny because all of my memories of him are from games at alumni. So I feel like whenever I think about Aiden, I think just alumni hall because I feel like he only played well at alumni hall.
Yeah. Then the following game, win against St. Peter's.
St. Peter's were weird. They, for some reason, they played really well against them some games and then.
Really
played
poorly.
I remember that we watched that one game where they played in St. Peter's,
and
which we'll get to
really
later.
Poorly.
It was like the worst game of their year. Almost.
But this St. Peter's, I remember when we beat them in this game on January 15th. It was like a big deal because they were like the top team too.
Yeah, I think, and this is at this point they were what 4-3, 3-4 in conference play. Like, they were still hanging around.
Yeah, we had two wins in a row going into Iona. I was actually pretty confident in this. I believe we watched this
too. This one put them to 3-2 in the conference.
Yeah, we watched this too. I remember, and it was close for a while. They only lost by what? Like
they lost by 10. They won by 10, but they came back in the second half a little bit. It seems like
so, you know. And it's Iona. We've struggled against them, right?
I mean, they're obviously
they're usually
the cream of the crop
beat.
In the conference. And now with
Rick Pitino,
they should be even more so.
Then we went on to lose against Quinnipiac. That was a poor game. I remember Quinnipiac was hitting threes like
I mean,
crazy.
That's
how
they play, though. Like, it's like they hit their threes, they're on. If they're not, then you have a real good chance.
Then we had the Hertford Cure game, January 26th against Canisius. This is the one where I think Idas hit the three to start the game, but Jesus Cruz played really well in this game. I think Allen played really well in this game. And, like, Alumni Hall was packed for this game.
Well, yeah, the Hertford Cure. I think
you were there.
I was there, yeah.
Yeah, you were there.
Was this?
I think this was the day.
The Kobe?
That Kobe
guy. I was going to say.
Yeah, because this was like an interesting game.
Because it was packed. I remember it being packed for that.
Yeah, it was packed for, like, the Hertford Cure. I remember I was working at the score table during that game. But, like, the game itself was, like, a very electric game. There was, like, a full crowd. Everyone was going crazy.
Yeah.
I remember Allen had, like, a breakaway dunk at one point down at that end. And, like, everyone went wild for it. It was, like, awesome. And Canisius had one of the best players in the league last year. So
they had that kid that's was it the guard are you talking about?
Yeah.
Malik Johnson, I'm guessing.
Yeah, him.
He scored a lot. I mean, it looks like he played the entire game in that game. He played all 40 minutes.
They also had that guy, I don't know his name, but the guy who did the behind the back for the
free throw. Yeah, on Hossa Highlights.
Yeah, so I remember he did that there too. That was a great game though. But then we went on to play Ryder, who was like, again, one of the
Ryder
best teams.
And Siena, I don't think they really had any chance of beating any of those teams in most games.
Lost to Ryder. And then February, right? Open up February playing Monmouth, another great team in the league, but that was
The game winner. Yeah.
Yep. At Webster Bank Arena, Allen Jean Rose game layup at the buzzer. That was a signature win for them last season.
Was probably the best game of their season. In terms of momentum wise.
If that was at Alumni Hall, it probably
would have been
crazy.
More fans, but.
But that was awesome. I was there for that too. That was pretty cool.
They also need the win because, I mean, they're playing Ryder and Siena sandwiched together with Monmouth. If they lost that game in heartbreaking fashion, it would have been brutal.
Iona too after that.
Yeah.
They needed that. And that was just huge for Allen too. Like, I feel like giving
him
confidence
as a freshman.
I feel like he started to, like, play.
I think he started getting more minutes after that. I think that was the point where he kind of switched to being, like, more of a regular player.
I think that Canisius game was really when he started to break out. Because he really played well in that game. He had a couple steals, I think.
He played good defense. He doesn't really... I hope this changes this year, but he wasn't very aggressive on offense. But he did... When he was, he played well.
Yeah. That's been the problem for a couple players,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, they have the talent, but they're just not aggressive enough.
So, hopefully this year... If he... His shot was, like, okay last year, if he can improve it more.
I mean, that's, like...
His drive was good, though.
Yeah, he could finish. And he has long arms. I mean, he's made to kind of get to the rim. I hope that this year they kind of improved their three-point shooting. I think that's the biggest thing, is shooting.
Yeah, because it was virtually like non-existent.
Yeah, almost non-existent.
Landon.
And I mean, in this day and age, it's very tough to be successful without a three-point shooting team.
So then we went on to have losses against Siena and Iona, but again, it was just
too. They're too much. They're too talented.
Not really expect to beat them. Go on to beat Marist. That was another buzzer-beating game.
This is overtime again.
Or it was, I think Marist had a chance to win it at the buzzer. We were watching that in, like, Drew's room, I think, or something. Marist had a chance to win it in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
Or in at the
This was an interesting game
because
it was oddly close the entire game. Like, it never got with, I think there's probably no lead bigger than, like, 5 points in this game.
And the weird thing, too, was, like, Marist was, like, consistently one of the worst teams last year.
They had a good year last year,
in the beginning, I think they were one of the worst. But then we struggled against them.
Yeah, I mean, in the MAC, it's so even. I mean, it's not, like, completely even, but, like, it's so... I mean, what was that? Van Gundy said that. He was like, it's the best conference in basketball.
Yeah,
anyone can win.
It really is, like, I think, on any given night, though.
There's no game where, like,
it's clearly
a team is clearly going to win.
Yeah. Even, like... We'll get blown out against, like, Siena or, you know...
Ryder,
but I'll still go into those games thinking,
they could win. Like, I could see an outcome if they, like, do this, this, and this, which, not, like, unrealistic things, but, like, if they shoot the ball well, they can win. It's not, like...
Yeah, like, I'm never, like, not confident in them at least being in the game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, being in the game especially. Winning might be a little too more so if they're, like, in Siena or in Ryder, but...
There's never one of those games where, like, you don't want to watch it because you're it's not even worth it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if you were in, like,
SEC with, like, Kentucky, it's like, you're going to lose by 40 points. And
it's like, why would I even... I'm not going to go to this game. I'm not going to turn it on. But it's never really like that for us. Then they lost to St. Peter's. That was the one we're talking about.
Yeah, the one in Jersey City with those fans, the kids.
They had the fan section. They were heckling. I think that was our worst game
of
the season.
I think that was might have been the lowest point. Or not the lowest point because they lose four in a row, but, like, I guess, like, yeah, like the turning point down to, like, the whatever they were, 8-12. Because at this point, I think they were, what, 500 they must have been?
Yeah, because
the conference.
They lost four in a row.
And they were 400.
So
this is like before that St. Peter's game. If they had won that St. Peter's game, there's a legit chance they could have competed for like a top five seed in the conference.
Yeah, they could have. And even to the last day, they were like still.
They could have moved up or down, right?
Yeah, they could have like played like I forget who. They could have played like an easier school.
Mm-hmm.
So then they actually win. Well, first of all, they put up 44 points against St. Peter's. That's like also one of their lowest scoring.
I mean,
games besides that win with
these last few games, they had a lot of trouble scoring. They went 44, then 61 against Niagara, which isn't bad. 59, 58, 51, 45. You can't score 200 points in four games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they went on to beat Niagara. That was a buzzer beating game, too. I think Taj hit a buzzer beater floater.
Oh, was that? Yeah, that you were at that game. Right?
I was working that game. That was Alumni Hall giveaway.
Yeah, these last few Alumni Hall games were crazy. That I forget the Siena game, but I know the Quinnipiac game was.
Buzzer beater.
It was the hit
we
the three, right?
On a buzzer beater.
They hit the three, though.
Yeah. So we went on a buzzer beater, Niagara. Siena lose by three to Siena.
I actually don't remember this game.
I definitely worked this game.
I was going to say, because I remember I remember this stretch of Alumni Hall games, like four in a row, but I don't remember this game sandwiched in between.
I think we had a chance to tie at the buzzer, and I think Landon missed a three.
Was it Landon? Okay. Yeah, I don't remember that one.
Not 100% sure, but I think that's how that ended. And then Quinnipiac game, I remember that one.
I remember that one,
because I was like right where I was standing. They had like
they had the foul, right? They had the foul that gave them the possession back.
Yeah, something happened like weird like that, and they had the inbound play under the basket on the right side. They like they, there was like 2 seconds left, 3 seconds left. It felt like an eternity. Like,
oh yeah, yeah, that's right. Didn't he pass it and like fumbled it? Didn't someone drop the ball or like I feel like there was something
like that.
Something
happened.
Went wrong in the play, and it's, then they like, end up with someone wide open.
They
in the
kicked
wind.
It out to like one side, then they swung it around the whole court all the way to the other side, and then it was like an open three.
Some guy in the wing had a wide open three.
And it was just like it just didn't feel like that could have been two seconds at all. It was like, but.
Well, I mean, if you go back to, like the Lakers game the other night, like, was that 1.2 seconds? And they couldn't even get... They got one pass in.
Yeah.
And it was already... it was the buzzer. So, yeah, I mean, two seconds, I feel like they...
I don't know if there was, like, a... If they started the clock late.
I mean,
like,
there's a chance. Their clock on, like, those ESPN broadcasts are kind of slow.
Yeah, so... And it's just, like... Yeah, it's not, like, NBA level.
Yeah, it's not, like...
Timekeepers. Yeah. So... that was a heartbreaking loss. I remember, like, actually being sad after that one.
This was, like, after two... Like this was after a close loss to Siena.
And a big win.
Yeah.
It's,
if
like,
they,
three
if they had won
games in a row. It's, like, you could have
won
all
if they had
those.
Won that game, they're still kind of in the running for that conference, like, higher seed.
And even if they win against Quinnipiac, just the more, like, the morale.
Yeah, momentum going to Ryder and Monmouth back-to-back, you kind of needed
and
that.
And just knowing you could beat Quinnipiac, which is one of the top teams, even just going into the tournament, that's huge. Like, just...
Especially because it's at home and alumni, and that was a Friday night, so it was a big, like...
Yeah, that was a packed game, too. Mm-hmm. And then Ryder was the, like, quote-unquote closing alumni hall game.
It was
now
senior day.
Like, it was supposed to be the last game. Right,
it was senior day, right?
Yeah, but also like last.
Last game like ever in Alumni
Hall. So that was like packed crowd too, huge game. But we were close at times actually. But
in the second half, they just pulled away.
They pulled away like at the end. Then we had two road games to finish the season. We had a loss at Monmouth, another one that might be one of our worst games of the season.
They can't. They couldn't handle like this game. They actually scored a lot. 39-30. They scored 31 in the first half. That's how much they score in games almost sometimes. So
yeah, but they ended with 45.
I know. The second half, they kind of fell apart. But I'm just saying, like, you can't get up 39. The one time you actually score, you can't get up 39. I remember this guy, the guy that 34 for Monmouth. I remember him.
Yeah.
I don't know his name, but...
Ray. Also, you just said we scored 31 in the first half. You can't score 14 in the second half.
I know. Yes, yeah, of course. I mean... It wasn't from lack of shooting. I mean, they just didn't have the players to kind of put up points like that.
And then we close our season at Manhattan. This is a pretty nice win.
It gave us confidence going into the
It gave
tournament.
Us a lot of confidence. This is the game where Jesus hit that shot
Sports Center, right?
Yeah. It was, like, close at times, and we pulled away. Won by 16. And, yeah, it gave us a lot of confidence going.
I remember
into
me and you both were like extremely confident when we drew Manhattan.
Yeah, I was like happy we drew them because it was like I think
it was between like them and like Riot. I feel like we were the second worst or third worst maybe in the conference.
Yeah, I feel like it was between us either playing them or like a really good team.
Yeah, I remember what our conference went.
It might have been Siena.
I think it might have been Siena. I'm actually gonna look at the conference.
Because I think Marist wound up playing one of those. It might have been Iona.
Oh, it could have been Iona.
I think Marist and Iona had a great game that was, like, close at the
end. Yeah, so Fairfield finished third worst. Marist finished last. Fairfield finished third worst. And they played...
Manhattan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because teams get byes. That's right. They played Manhattan. How many teams got byes? I feel like...
I think the top two. Top two, yeah.
So, yeah, I think it was between Manhattan or Iona.
Yeah, I think so, too. And Iona had just beat us by, like, 20 a couple weeks before that, so we didn't want to play them, obviously. But going into that MAC, you know, conference championship game, they just didn't – they was close, right? It was close at halftime. Wasn't it tied?
The Manhattan.
I think it might have been tied at
halftime. Yeah, it was tied 19-19, and then the floodgates opened 42 for Manhattan in the second half.
And we wound up scoring 43 the whole game, so – you know, they could have almost beat us.
And they had chances. I remember that game. They had chances. They were up early. They were up, like early. But, still, they were up early.
No, they looked good at first, and then they just fell apart. And I don't know. It was just unfortunate, right? Because 4 days prior, you beat them by 16.
I mean, their best guys, like, no one had more than three made shots all game.
But it also just shows, like, the parity in the MAC, right?
You
beat them by 16 4 days ago.
You beat them by 16 one game, you lose by 20 the next game.
It's the same week, too. Mm-hmm. It's all in the same week. And
it was just Friday and the next Tuesday.
Yeah, it's 4 days, and that's how much of a difference it made. So that was kind of like the season wrap-up from last season. We never really
First
of all, it's like our first episode here, but we never got to talk about that on our other show because then everything ended abruptly. We didn't even have a MAC champion, technically. I think they might have awarded it to someone.
It probably would have been Siena, if we were being honest. I mean, Ryder could have.
I had Ryder. I actually picked Ryder. I did like a whole bracket. I picked Ryder.
I think Siena would have pulled. I mean, they had the player of the year. That guy was amazing. I forget his name.
Ryder was a big team, though, too.
Yeah. I mean, they played pretty similar, I feel like, Siena and Ryder.
Yeah, but the tournament was actually really good, too. The MAC tournament, like, I was watching most of the games until they got canceled, and they had some good games in there, but unfortunately, we never got to see the winner. But that kind of brings us to this year, right?
Jalen Pickett, that was his name. Jalen Pickett from Siena. Yeah.
Did he graduate?
I'm not sure, actually.
Hopefully. Well, I think actually before we start this year, right, because we're about halfway through our show too, so it kind of lines up. And again, you're listening to WVUF 88.5 FM, Fairfield University Radio.
I don't think he graduated. I think he's still here.
That's not great for us.
Yeah.
He's a junior. I think before
he's
we start,
junior. Oh my goodness.
He's our age, so we're going to have to deal with him until we graduate.
Wow.
Before we start next season, or this current season's kind of preview, just as a first year for Jae Young, like, what would your comments
my grade,
be about his first year?
My grade, so I'm not going to be as hard as him this year, because this year it kind of was like a wash. He didn't have any of his recruits. They have 1 year recruiting.
Well, last year, right?
Did he technically get a year of his own?
I think Allen and Chris were like his recruits.
Whatever. You
count that because a lot of like the whole
team
that was there was
all,
still not his recruits.
What's his name?
Sidney Johnson's recruits. So.
I mean, both those guys are both very, very confident going into next year. I think both are going to be huge for them. And so, I mean, I'll give his first year, I'll give him a B, possibly a B+. I mean, he didn't have the talent. The fact that they even won 8 games in the conference is pretty impressive.
I'll give him a B+ too. I think he, like, record aside, right? The team was just noticeably better.
They just played better. Their offense was better. They just looked better.
Mainly their defense.
Their defense
was incredible. And like you consider freshman year, right? We were not good at all freshman year, right? And we lost Kasababu, right?
He lost their best player.
He was just on, like, the decade team or whatever.
He's like an NBA caliber.
In the G League. Like, we lost one of, the best players that I guess we've had here for a while, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Jae Young comes in. Most of his team is not his team. Gets, like, 2 recruits and just, you know, you're
all
just
of his transfers
this.
Are on the bench.
And I think it's his first time being a head coach of a D1 team. As well.
Because he was assistant for Rutgers.
He was assistant
for a long time.
Rutgers. I think he's been at like New Haven, which isn't, I don't think that's
D1. I don't think it's D1.
And like to do what he did with that, it gave me a lot of confidence. And you can't really find anyone around here that'll say anything bad about Jae Young.
I mean, you
as
can't.
A coach.
I mean, this year, if he does, they kind of stand still, they don't get better, you might be able to kind of call him out for some things, but. So far,
I mean, like, there's still
so much time. You
gotta
it's a rebuilding.
Like 4 years,
you're rebuilding a whole
least.
Program, so
because you really can't judge him fully until he has his whole team here that he wants, a whole recruiting,
especially
group
at
that he wants.
A school like this where it's not like SEC, like all the big schools. You have freshmen that come in and are expected to be like
they could change the program.
Yeah, they could change the program, like a Zion, like that. Fairfield, it's. You have guys that you groom to become good, like,
junior
senior
year. Yeah. So,
it's more like high school sports where, like, you kind of – you start off small.
The freshmen
small,
are just learning kind of. Then once –
they work behind.
You
and
work
then,
your way
yeah.
up and, yeah, it's very much like that. So it's, you know, just as last season, I was very happy with Jae Young. We're both big fans of him, just what he's done and, like – I'm very confident in him And I know, like, the MAC, again, when we talk about it, it's, like, it's such a hard league.
It's so tipsy-turvy. They could be first in the MAC for this year for all we know. Like, we don't know.
And even if they aren't, it's, like, they could be, like, pretty low in the MAC. It doesn't mean he's doing a bad job.
No. So I mean, it's even. You're a couple things that go your way, you're at the top. A couple things don't go your way, you're at the bottom.
Yeah, so, but we'll see. We're rooting for him, and we'd love to have him on here, like, maybe 2 weeks from now or so. But going into this season, right, we'll start our preview of the 2020-2021 season. What should we look at first? The rosters?
I think the rosters. Go through the roster. Who's back and who's
I got back. So I got the roster pulled up. We want to just go
down it.
For the most part. We won't mention everyone,
but the ones that...
The ones that, like, kind of highlight. So we have Caleb Green, right?
Mm-hmm.
Redshirt last year, had to sit out, transferred from Holy Cross.
I mean, these are the guys that will kind of show us if he knows how to.
This is another young recruit. Too, yeah. So
these are the kind of guys like him, Caleb. A lot of the transfers, I'm saying, will be kind of what will help us decide if he like kind of knows how to scout, knows how to.
Yeah, and he's scouting more like Northeast. And then Maryland. I feel like Maryland, he's been scouting a lot, too.
I mean, it's odd because his transfers are more south. And he has what? He has Zach Chrysler from Rice. And then he has the guy from Richmond.
Yeah.
Blanking on his name. But his transfers are coming from all over the country, which is interesting.
Yeah, Jake.
Wojcik. Yeah,
He's from California,
but he went to school at Richmond.
Yeah. But... So Caleb Green, like we haven't seen him.
We haven't seen him play or anything, but we've heard good things.
Chris Mido, right?
Obviously, we're big on Mido.
We're big on him. He has very, very good potential.
I think he could be the best player he'd be the most effective player on the team. I guess
he could be one of the top players in the conference.
I mean, 6'10", long arms. I can't imagine what his wingspan is, but if he puts on a couple pounds, he.
Yeah, that's
no one's gonna be able. No one's gonna score him.
If he puts on like good weight, he could be unstoppable.
And he like, I feel like he could expand his offensive game more. I feel like he didn't really have the flexibility to like shoot the ball if he was left open, that kind of stuff.
And it was weird last year. There'd be spurts where he just didn't play for a while.
Yeah, they would start him and pull him within 2 minutes.
2 minutes, and then he wouldn't see until like the third quarter, and
second half.
Yeah.
Third quarter.
Well, no, I mean, I don't know.
Time frame. First half of the second half.
Yeah, like, I mean, just any time. Like, not specifically the third quarter, but they'd pull him, and then he would sit for, like, a long time. Yeah. And he would, like, start the game with, like, a monster dunk or, like, a, you know,
He would disappear on the court.
And then they wouldn't play him. And so hopefully he gets more minutes this year. Hopefully he put on some weight. I haven't seen him.
It says 190. Campus, but, like 10 more.
Yeah, like
205 maybe.
So then we got Taj Benning coming back for his senior year.
Who? I think gets a lot too much hate. I think he played actually pretty solid last year. I think his three-point shot is brutal, but...
He can drive really well.
He can get to the line. He can make free throws, which is...
And more so than anything, which is why I'm not that worried this year, is he's a good leader.
Yeah, he played every minute of most games.
Yeah, I mean, and you could always see him on the court, like, gathering the team... Mm-hmm. Motivating them, giving them instructions. Like, he's a very good leader. And now that he's a senior, he's going to be more motivated than ever to win, to try to get to the tournament. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. It's his last season. And at a school like this, when you're talking about, like, guys, like, it's not just their last season in college.
Probably
it's
last time playing ever.
Playing basketball. Yeah. So it's just they're going to be more motivated than ever. And, like, I've always been a fan of Taj, too. I think he's good. You know, obviously his outside shot's not great, but... His drive's like really good. And
it's a shame that he's like their go-to guy for scoring because I feel like in a different role he'd be a lot more effective, like in an IDIS role.
Yeah,
he like had like if like
more facilitating kind of role, and he's pretty good at defense too.
But he's a big guy. Signing 6'4", 202 for a guard is pretty big, especially for the MAC.
Yeah, so I'm actually expecting him to have a good season. I really am. And
if he can even make his 3-point shot like. What was it, 15% last year or something like that? It was something like extremely...
Yeah, it was very low.
If you can get up to, like, 25 even, I'll take that from him. One of every four?
Then we got Jalen Leach, right? So he's a freshman.
Another freshman, yeah.
True freshman. I think he played at Bergen Catholic for a little bit, but then he transferred, listed as a Tilton School in New Hampshire, which...
I don't know what that... I've never heard of that,
but it must be like a...
Like a basketball...
Like a preparatory kind of school, because he's from Nyack, New York, so it might be like even like a boarding school type,
like
of,
prep.
Type of school, but again, 6'4", 190...
Another
guard,
long,
so similar
another
build to Taj, I guess.
I mean, I enjoy that. Like, I mean, sometimes they just got outsized by, like, Sienna and Ryder.
A lot of the time.
A lot of the time, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's their guards, not their big men that kind of outsized them, but still, I mean, having bigger guards, like, that'll help you get easy baskets. If you have a 6'4 guard on, who's the guy in Quinnipiac that was, what, 5'10"? But he scored a lot, but what was he, 5'10"?
Yeah.
I mean, have Taj or Leach go at him like that, they'll probably get to the basket.
Him,
at least
a
foul.
Yeah. Then we got Jake.
The transfer. Is Wojcik?
Wojcik. Junior transfer. But I think he's good to go, right?
I think he was able to go right away. I think
he got the waiver or whatever.
And he's a shooter.
We've seen his highlights on
Fairfield Instagram
stuff. He looks good. Listen, if highlights of someone shooting threes at a
the fact that he's
school like
shooting
that,
them. The fact that he's shooting them.
Like, we can use 3-point help. Like,
anywhere.
Desperately, right? So, it's got to be better than
any
we can.
Threes. Exactly. That's a good way to sum it up. Any threes are good. Like, just shooting them helps.
Yeah,
helps
and,
us.
And just knowing someone, his shot looked smooth.
Yeah, it looks like
he shot.
Yeah, it looks like a lot of the guys on Fairfield, like, when they shoot, and you can kind of tell they're not meant to be shooting threes, not shooting from the outside. He was one of those
it
guys
looks
that
smooth. It looks
he
good.
Looks yeah.
And hopefully he could take a big role. 6'5". So it's good to see, like, more height there.
Yeah.
Maybe takes that role that, like, Landon had or something. Who else we got? Supreme Cook, right?
Another freshman that we're excited about.
Was
it him and Leach that played together or something? Or I forget. I thought they – or did they announce them together or something? I forget.
I think they announced them at the same
– At the same time. So, Supreme Cook, another guy we saw highlights of that we – kind of like
6'9", 200.
But athletic is what the highlights show.
Yeah.
It seemed pretty athletic.
Sure, East Orange, New Jersey, so not too far from us.
Petty school. They're a good basketball school.
Are they in New Jersey?
Maybe Pennsylvania. But they're like big for basketball in terms of like.
We're excited though.
Prompting or what's the word for it? Grooming players to go play D1, whatever.
We're excited for him. Like you said, like he looks like he's gonna be good. And then 6'9", 200 pounds. We need more of that height.
I mean, the next thing outside of shooting that we need is athleticism.
Yeah.
I mean, like, some guys, for us, it, like, was hard to even, like, pull off a dunk in a game. Like, teams like Ryder and Santa were, like, throwing down, like, alley-oops and stuff. Like, just having athleticism to match other teams would be extremely helpful, especially on the forward positions.
We're excited for him, too. They lost a couple, like, big guys this
and
year.
Easy's gone.
Like,
right?
Easy's gone. Also, like, Methnani's not on here.
Do we have Peterson?
And Peterson, too.
Is he not here?
Both of them are not on it anymore.
Yeah, they're not on this.
And they weren't seniors, so.
I mean, granted.
I mean, we're not.
Are we too upset?
Yeah. They were, like, both liabilities, so I don't know, like, what happened.
I mean, they were there because they were all they had in terms of size.
And that was both, like, two, like, Sidney Johnson kind of recruits.
Yeah.
So.
And also, like, those guys, like, they didn't have the size. They had the bulk, but they didn't have the size in terms of, like, height.
Yeah.
So, like, they kind of got, like, bullied in the paint. Like, they didn't have the athleticism or size. Like, they had the weight to throw
they
around.
They also just didn't have, like, the game.
Yeah,
the
they didn't have, exactly. They didn't have the game. Supreme Cook, like, you just tell by, like, the highlights, like, he kind of has some type of
game. And he's a freshman.
He's
We're
a freshman.
Not expecting him to be, like,
obviously.
You know,
but I think he has the potential. He has a lot higher potential
so
than either Peterson or Methnani.
Yeah, I think so, too.
And if we're, like, if we are bad again, which is, like, there's a chance, I'd much rather see a freshman like Supreme Cook playing minutes than a junior or senior like Methnani.
Yeah.
Because, like, what's the point?
100%, yeah. So then we got Allen Jean Rose, probably our favorite.
Yeah, another guy
favorite
we
players on the team.
Another
probably.
Guy that we are high on.
We've always been big on him from the beginning of last year to now. 6'7", 195 pounds.
And another eye test guy where you just, like, we watch him play and he just looks like he belongs.
You knew that he was going to be legit, and I don't know. He's just a good player. Now he's going into his sophomore year. I hope he could take more responsibility this year.
Hopefully get some more minutes.
More shots, more minutes. And I think he will. He was, like, starting a lot towards the end of last year.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he was getting, like, legit minutes.
So I hope that continues. But I do have high expectations for him this year.
I hope he expands his three-point shot. I mean, a lot of these guys, outside of, like, Calvin maybe, like, need to expand their three-point shot in terms of, like, the big, like, guys getting big minutes, like,
yeah.
Allen, Taj. I mean, we don't know about Leach and Caleb and Supreme, but those guys that are coming back that play a lot of minutes last year kind of need to expand their game in terms of three-point shooting and just shooting in general.
Yeah, and then we got the lone junior, Calvin Whipple. You know, he didn't play a whole lot last year.
I think his minutes are going to go down even more so with all the guards coming in. He'll probably play a lot early, I could see, especially if he plays well.
Like seniority kind of thing.
Also, especially we don't know what's going on with their practices and stuff, but if he impresses well in practice, I could see him getting minutes early.
Yeah, I could see him.
Basically, it's his minutes to lose at this moment, probably.
Yeah, he didn't get a whole lot of minutes last year.
It was very...
Fluctuated. He had moments, though.
I mean, that Maryland game, I think he... He came in for a stretch, I think, probably just to get his, like, normal minutes in. And then he started playing well. I think they just kind of rode the hot hand.
He did have his moments, so, like, I'm not, like, ready to write him off, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he has the potential. Yeah, he does have potential.
And again,
I see him, like, warming up. Like, when I'm working and I'm there, like, early, I'll see him warming up. He's hitting, like,
he's probably their best
pure three-point shooter
at the moment. Because we don't know, obviously, with Coach It, or whatever his name is, Wojcik and Chrysler.
We can't really talk.
We can't talk about those guys because we really don't know how. We saw a couple of highlights, but we don't know how they do.
But
consistently,
I think right now he probably is their most pure 3-point shooter that we know of. Mm-hmm. But it's just going to be, can he do it in the game?
Yeah, that's his big. I mean,
he's always been a good defender too. I think they put him in for defensive purposes sometimes as well. So
I mean, again, 6'4", he doesn't look that big on, like, I guess on TV or like in person, but 6'4", that's not bad for a guard. That's good guard size, especially for the Mac.
He's, like, mobile. Like, he's quick.
Yeah, he's quick for 6'4", too. He's not, like, a bulky 6'4".
Let's move down to... We got a couple more freshmen that we're not really sure about.
Well, you don't know about them.
Zach Chrysler, though.
He's the Rice guy, the big guy that can shoot.
And that's 6'9". I like to see 225 as well.
6'9", 225, and can shoot.
Yeah.
That's going to spread. Imagine that's all they need. The reason they couldn't score is because they could, like, a couple of guys could drive and finish, but it's just everyone, like, they know they couldn't shoot, so they didn't respect the shot, so they would just.
And the paint was just clogged.
Paint was clogged. There was no spacing. If they can space the floor with Chrysler, if he's, like, the real deal, and he's a big man that can space the floor, Taj and Cruz and, like, those guys are going to have way easier time scoring baskets.
And just hopefully, I mean, I still don't really know. We don't know his game that well. We don't really know what he looks like, but. 6'9", 225, like, I'm hoping that he can also be, like
a body,
strong down
body
low.
In the post. Yeah, I hope he's not a liability. I know a lot of guys that are big shooters, big man shooters, are kind of liabilities in the paint, but I hope – he's not afraid to throw around his weight.
Because he's got to be our biggest guy on the team then.
I mean, him and – yeah, Mido's too skinny.
Because they're all 6'9". Easy's gone. Other guys are all 6'9", but they have, like – they're, like, what, 30 pounds less?
Yeah, and Easy's gone, so there's no him.
And then we'll move down. Jesus Cruz coming back for his senior year.
Hopefully. And he had his moments.
Feels like he's been here forever.
Yeah.
I know we're only juniors, but he's been, like, starting for, like, ever, I feel like.
Because he, like, it's weird. He, like, has these moments where, like, he, like, looks like he's...
Really good.
Yeah, really good. And then there's some moments where, like, you don't understand why he plays.
Did what he did.
Yeah, like why he, like, even, like, thought about doing that. But, again, another guy where... If he could improve his three-point shot, it would help his game immensely.
Yeah, because sometimes sometimes three-point shot's nice, sometimes it's really off.
Yeah, sometimes it's really off.
It's, like, just consistency. I think with him, consistency is the biggest thing.
Specifically, because I feel like the games where he played well, they played well as a team.
Yeah, they kind of play well.
They kind of played.
He has, like, multiple tools where he could pass, he could drive, he could shoot if he's doing it well. But if he's off all around.
Like, he's their go-to guy. If they need a basket at the end of the game, they go to him. Well, at least last year they did. And I honestly don't even mind that. Him or Taj, probably the two guys I would put the ball in their hands. But, like, Cruz, honestly, with his size, bigger size, I'd probably go with Cruz.
He probably will be the guy this year.
He probably will be. I mean, he's a senior, yeah. And I honestly hope he does well because I actually do like his game when he's on.
He's, like, very enjoyable to watch,
in the post, he's, like, very shifty in the post. I know a couple times his go-to move was kind of, like, against bigger guys, kind of like the hook. He went with the hook in the paint.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like, it looked good. Like, it looked like a nice move.
Yeah, I hope he does well. I think he'll have a good season. Again, he's one of those guys, like, he's a senior. He's feels like he's been playing forever, and he's going to be more motivated than ever.
Yeah, I mean,
ever.
Him and Todd being
he
seniors.
He plays a lot of heart, too. Like, yeah. He's going to be more motivated than ever to try to win, try to get to the tournament. So I do have high expectations for him as well. I think, like, him and Taj, like, the expectations for them
are very
high.
It's going to be interesting how they play this year and if, like, how they replace those two. Because, I mean, without them, the whole team is...
Well, next year, right?
That's what I'm saying, the year after this year. So, like, yeah. It's going to be interesting how they replace those guys. Because, like, a lot of the team is freshmen and sophomores right now.
Because, like, Taj and Jesus have been playing for so... Like, they've been actually getting big minutes for so long.
You don't know a team without them.
Like, us as juniors, we can't even, like, picture the team without them, really. And then finally we have the other kid who had the red shirt. I don't even know. I can't really pronounce his name, but 6'7", 215 pounds. So, again, just more height.
I mean, St. Bonaventure is not a bad school for basketball.
Yeah, it's not.
So, I mean, hopefully.
They've been in the tournament stuff. And he's like a bigger kid. He's like a stronger kid, too, more muscular kid. Like, hopefully he could.
I mean, 6'7", 6'8", as a forward in the MAC can get it done. We're not really looking towards the tournament at all. So, I mean, in terms of, like, just MAC play, winning the MAC, 6'7", 215 is not a bad size for a forward.
He seems like a good player, too, so we'll see. Coaching staff pretty much remains the same. We already kind of touched upon that. We got about 8 more minutes left on the show. So they released the schedule yesterday, or at least the conference play schedule. I think there's 2 non-conference games that are going to be announced soon, but... For conference play, they released a schedule yesterday. You know, again, it's like the schedule isn't too telling because everyone could compete with everyone. But we got Canisius to open up conference play, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want to say that their best player graduated last year.
With Canisius?
Yeah, Malik Johnson or whatever his name was.
Was that the one with the behind the back?
No, that was the guard that was really good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He played, like, the whole time pretty much. Like, I want to say he graduated, but I'm not 100% sure. I still like our chances against Canisius, just not even in this game, but just in general.
I mean, most
year.
Teams I feel pretty confident in terms of.
Then we got Niagara.
Another team
I'm confident in.
Canisius, Niagara, Marist. The few teams where, like, I genuinely get nervous, like, in terms of not expecting a win.
Is Iona,
Siena Rider.
And
maybe Quinnipiac. But that's also, they're on and off to how much they shoot.
And looking at their schedule, too, you know, they got Canisius, Niagara, Marist. I think it'd be huge if
they
could
take
those three.
2-1 even 2-1 in
those
three.
Because when you look at their next three, Iona, Siena,
Monmouth, Manhattan.
And that could easily be 0-3, 0-4-ish kind of thing.
I mean, yeah, they got to take advantage when they do play teams that they can beat, because they, it snowballs, because if you lose to bad teams, then you have to play the good teams all in a row.
Yeah, and
you know, lose track of, like...
It's kind of a tough schedule, actually, looking at it, but they do open up home, not that we're going to be certain that there'll be fans or anything, but they do open up home against Iona, against Rick Pitino this year, right?
That'd be fun. Even just to watch, just to see him on the sideline would be interesting.
Yeah,
because it's just like such a recognizable face.
He's won national championships.
I mean, recently too. It's not even like it's like what was it 2013? Louisville won.
We in our recent memories, and now he's here coaching. But with that being said, we still want to beat him. You know,
well, obviously, nothing would be better than just shoving in Rick Pitino's face.
Yeah. I mean, we want to beat them more than ever, and we'll see. I know. Who's Isaiah? Was it Isaiah Washington? Right?
He was on Iona, right?
He left. He transferred again.
Because you're from Iona?
He left Iona. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Which is kind of unique or kind of funny if you think about it.
Minnesota.
He left Minnesota, which was coached by
his brother.
Son,
oh yeah,
right?
Son. I mean, yeah, that's right.
Now that Rick Pitino's hired here,
he left because the kid, like, he wanted.
I don't know if they have. Like,
I mean, they
like,
might have beef with
Pitino. Yeah, I don't know.
Or maybe he was just nervous that his beef with the bro,
son. Or he thinks the son would tell him not to play.
Yeah, and that kind of stuff. I mean, not like the craziest assumption.
Yeah. It really, that's like probably like.
Yeah, it's true, not like a selfish assumption.
And then they got Siena, Monmouth, like two hard games back to back. Then they got Manhattan, which you kind of have to take because right after that you got Quinnipiac, Iona, St. Peter's.
But granted, that's in Fairfield, that St. Peter's game, so you never know.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's not like a team that I'm super scared of. But they're definitely in the upper half.
Yeah, they're definitely in the upper half. The lower half is like Niagara, Canisius.
But when you consider that you're going to have to play Quinnipiac and Iona right before that, they could be like kind of beaten down by then. It depends. Like,
I mean, if they're going to really want to compete for like the top half, they're going to have to win some games in Siena, Ryder.
Oh, yeah, they're going to have to, in that first three-game stretch, they're going to have to take one of them. Iona, Siena, Monmouth. Yeah. They're going to have to take one of those games. And then in the second three-game stretch, Quinnipiac, Iona, St. Peter's, like, I'd love for them to take two of them.
Two. Take Quinnipiac and St. Peter's, lose to Iona. Like, I mean.
Even beat Iona, potentially.
Even beat Iona, yeah. Because it's like, it's weird. It's hard to predict standings, like, in the MAC versus, like, just normal, like, even, like.
Yeah, it's, because really, like, anything.
You really don't know. Yeah, like, you don't know.
Then they go Niagara again. You got to take both against Niagara, especially how the
seriously
how it's set
you
up.
You got to take both against Niagara, both against Canisius, both against Marist. Like you have to beat up on the bad teams.
Saying that though, like that's very unlikely that happens. Just obviously, because of the MAC.
Yeah.
Then they got like Monmouth and Ryder back to back.
And also, we just don't know who these teams have coming in. Like we looked at our recruits and. We're excited about them.
We're excited. Maybe they have a good transfer. Yeah. Maybe they have, maybe Rick Pitino got some good transfers in. Like, we don't know. But then they got, like, Monmouth and Ryder. Ryder, I assume, is going to be good again.
Monmouth could surprise, too. Monmouth, like, a couple years ago, they were all over ESPN. Though. They were all over ESPN. Yeah. Remember that one year?
When they had, like, the celebrations. They were good last year, though, too. Like, they were still in the tournament.
Yeah.
And they, like, had a good chance to be one of those teams to win it, too.
Don't count out Monmouth as, like, one of those top teams that they got to be scared of. The only teams that they should be like...
Ryder, Siena,
Monmouth, Iona.
I'd say it's hard. You could even throw Quinnipiac in there, though.
But Quinnipiac, I feel like they, in terms of their play style, it's a lot more likely they could beat them. Like Siena and Ryder, they'll just bully you in the paint, and you can't really stop that.
Quinnipiac has a bad shooting night. Are they hot from three?
They have a bad shooting night. You might have a chance.
Yeah. So it's definitely, like, I guess not to be as scared of them. But those five, though, are definitely, like, five of the top teams in the league. If Quinnipiac, Monmouth, Ryder, Iona, and Siena.
Mm-hmm.
So then even, like, Manhattan. I think Manhattan has a really good player coming back, too. But
yeah, they have they pick. Oh, no, that's Siena.
They had this kid. I think he was, like, I don't know. I think he was a sophomore last year. Maybe. He was, like, one of the top defensive players. I mean, I don't know.
But, yeah, I mean.
Then they go on, like, they got, like, Siena, Marist, Quinnipiac, St. Peter's. They end the season Ryder on March 5th. So, not an easy schedule. It never is. It wouldn't really.
Wouldn't be the MAC with it.
It wouldn't really matter, honestly, how they place the games either.
They play the same amount. Team they play what they play each team twice.
Yeah. I think, and it wouldn't really matter like the order of the games because it's just a tough schedule regardless. So I don't know. We'll see. We're what is your confidence level right now going into
at this moment in terms of what like terms of winning the conference, terms of just playing well.
Let's say like above 500.
Above 500. I'm at like. A 35% confidence level, they finish over 500.
I'll give them like I'm actually gonna give them like a, I'll give them like a 51% chance. I'll go right over 50%.
It'll fluctuate there a lot after the first game. After I see these players play,
yeah,
I feel like I want to like see their highlight, these players' highlights and stuff to like kind of get a handle. Cause like I mean like we say we're excited, but like we really don't know how they're gonna play.
Yeah, we don't.
And we don't know how many minutes they're going to play, what the rotations are going to shake out to be.
We don't know how other teams are going to play. It's all up for to be seen, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be a crazy year. It's going to be a different year. It's going to be, but it's going to be fun. I think it'll be fun. We love to watch them play, too.
Yeah, they're fun.
It's going to be enjoyable. It's been a great first episode. I had a lot of fun talking about Fairfield basketball. Tune in next week at 1. Not sure what we're going to have on the table for you yet, but it will be Fairfield Sports, as always, on Red Sea Radio. Thank you guys for listening to our first episode. I hope you enjoyed it. We'll also be on Spotify maybe by the end of the day or so. And until next time, thank you and go Stags.